For some reason, I always remembered who he was. I didn't know him, but then I got to meet him and spend a little bit of time with him, but not a crazy amount of time. Just kind of visit a little bit here and there. And then a couple years ago, we both decided to fly a few thousand miles away, and we spent some time together and at the Myrtle Beach camp out there. And it's interesting. I was visiting with some folks yesterday. How sometimes we got to go a ways away to talk to the people that we're not very far from in the first place. And so I really appreciate getting to spend some time with Mike when we were back in South Carolina. And just I always appreciate those guys that are just the pillars that are very reliable. You know that they're going to be the guys that are there. And when I picture Mike and the things that I know about Mike and what I've seen from him, he's a guy that I believe he can absolutely count on. So with that, let's go ahead and bring Mike Wojcicki up for this morning.
All right, well, good morning. Oh, that was some fun. Come on, people, act like you're excited to see me. Act like you're... Thank you, that's better. All right. Well, since most of you are probably still eating, we're going to just kick this off with a short video. But before we do that, just wanted to set this up a little bit. I'm truly excited for this opportunity. Been thinking about this message for a long time, and in fact, a lot of this is just stuff that, like most of us, we've heard a preacher preach, and that's true today. A lot of these concepts that I'll be bringing out, I heard from Steve Doty years ago, and it just really stuck with my head over the years. But I thought, geez, what can I bring out? Because we, as Steve brought out yesterday, we could pretty much whatever we want to talk about, right? And so immediately my thought was that I wanted to cover the importance of being truth-seeking. And that's the scriptures that years ago Steve Doty brought out and brought to my awareness at least really hit hard for me. And because I had read over these scriptures many times, like a lot of us, we tend to skip over the deeper stuff. And he really unpacked this for me. So I hope to do that this morning as well. And but this video is going to be that we're going to watch. We'll set this up, this topic that I want to discuss this morning. And it's a gentleman that went out to a university. It's Washington State, and he interviewed a group of college students and about this topic of which bathroom do people use? And that which bathroom should people be able to use? And so he went to this campus and interviewed some college students to see what their response would be to some questions. And it's very interesting. So we'll roll that. Before we do that, I'd like Damian Hurley to come up and open us in a prayer. I appreciate Damian. He's a young guy coming up that's really dedicated to the Lord and to His Word.
All right, let's pray, guys. Awesome God, Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us. I want to thank you for the opportunity for all of us to live in this beautiful country where we have the opportunity to wake up and be surrounded by like-minded people who came here for one purpose, to learn more about you. Please help us to have a great rest of the weekend, so this weekend to be beneficial, and for us to all go home with a better mindset to attack and to fight for you and bring my family.
All right. I like the last slide there, if you couldn't see that. Because if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for it. And that's so true with this. These are college university students that can't tell a 5'9 white guy that he's wrong on if he thinks he's a 6.5 foot tall Chinese woman. couldn't tell him that he's wrong. Nor would they tell him that he's not 7 years old, and no, you can't enroll in the first grade. None of those students would tell him that he was wrong, that he shouldn't be allowed to believe those things. Turn to the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 1. And the guy that questioned, in case you didn't hear, at the end, he said, how in the world are we going to answer the tough questions if we can't answer the simple ones? Okay? When Isaiah chapter 1, a lot of people know this verse. It's obviously in a larger context. But I like what God says here. To God's people, I'll remind us, God says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be like white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Because if you read Isaiah chapter 1, people, they weren't living it. They weren't living it. God says, bring your worthless offerings no more. He was tired of their worthless offerings. Why? Because they were just going through the motions. They were just going through the motions, deceiving themselves, thinking that they were in the truth of God, that they were in the will of God. But God says, come now, let us reason together. Do you know what separates humans apart from the animal kingdom? It's our ability to reason. Right? That we should be able to stand and look a guy in the eye, that's 5'9", white guy, and tell him that you are not a 6.5 foot tall, cranky woman. Come now, let us reason together. Are we out of our ever-loving minds? I mean, seriously, all of these college students, male, female, white, African-American, Oriental, American, college students, none of them would answer that question rationally. Turn a few pages over to Isaiah chapter 5. This is great stuff here. Isaiah chapter 5. Let's look what God says here. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. We don't get to make things up. We don't get to do that. We don't get to arbitrarily say, if I'm a guy or a gal, God has spoken. One of the duties of the Old Testament priest was to teach the people what is holy and profane. Okay? What is good and what is evil? What is clean and unclean? But you know, some things just go without saying. Some things just go without saying. I'm like, come on, man. If we can't answer the simple question, again, how are we going to answer the problem? Right? The Bible says that when people don't know God, they do what's right in their own eyes. And we can make mistakes. But at least we've been able to tell whether a 35-year-old man is not a 7-year-old child. Right? Even stupid people can figure that one out. I mean, what's wrong with people today? Is it stupidity? I don't know that that's good. We got to get to the bottom of this. You know, there are people out there that were in the occult, right, and that have come out of it. And one of the things that they'll tell you is, you know, the demons, they want your mind. They want your ability to reason. They want to deprive you of that. And so what do we observe? There's a concerted effort. There is a determined and deliberate effort worldwide to deceive people. And sometimes, you know, we do things called political correctness and about embracing all the diversity, right? To be inclusive, to a fault. To a fault. They can't even tell if a 5'9" white guy is a 6.5-foot tall Chinese woman. I mean, I think we should be open-minded to a degree, helping people along the way, you know, when we're working with people, helping them through their challenges. But when it comes to Chinese problem, there is no compromise. There should not be any compromise with God's truth. When it comes to truth, and I'm not just talking about God's truth either, but for sure with God's truth, right, there's no compromise. But listen, we have to be truth seekers in every facet of life. And don't let someone tell you a 5'9" white guy could possibly be a 6.5-foot tall Chinese woman. You say, no, he's not. And don't let some 30-year-old tell you that he thinks he's 7 and wants to go to first grade. You tell him, no. No, you're not. And that's not because you're mean or a hater. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Why would somebody want to do that? You see, they have it completely flipped upside down and inside out. They put darkness for light, light for darkness, bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter when it's convenient. Because I tell you what, those people aren't going to put Worcestershire sauce on their ice cream and say it's good. Right? Steve's like, oh, I tried that. No, they're going to put chocolate syrup on their ice cream, right? But they don't look like that. Did they know the truth? Let's talk about this for a second. I think they knew darn well that guy was not a 6.5-foot tall Chinese woman. Nor was he 7 years old. Do you think they knew that? Of course they did. Why didn't they say so? Why is that so hard to say? Like the guy says on the video. You see, there's something else going on here. There's something going on internally. This is a human thing. We have the ability to reason. Why won't we reason? Why do people want to believe lies when they know darn well it's a lie? You see, things are turned inside out. From what we read in Isaiah. Things are turned inside out, right? And what we're going to bring out is something coming from inside. Maybe it's fear. Maybe they were fearful. They feared that they would be offensive to somebody, and they would rather look stupid. I think that's it. I think they were afraid that someone would be smart. Hey. Isn't that what we see? I am so sick of people standing up for what's right. They'd rather look ridiculous than to be offensive. Okay? All right. Romans chapter 1. Here we go in the Romans ride. Romans is a great book for a lot of things, and as Mike said, this is an actual letter that was written to the Christians. There's a lot of great stuff for giving us ammunition to refute the lies that are out there. But what I want to focus on is, let's just grab verse 16 of Romans chapter 1. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But look what he says in verse 18. He says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. This is deliberate. It's deliberate. They're suppressing truth. They want us to conform to their ideology. These wicked people who are in darkness, who are not in the truth, who call good evil, who call light darkness, who call bitter sweet, these people want us to conform to their thought process. And so they suppress the truth in any way. Isn't that what we see? Continuing in verse 19. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. There's no excuses. Continuing, verse 21. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations. I believe the King James says in their thoughts. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. I think we just watched that. Literally on the video. You see, that's the way you gotta be on the university campus. You better go along to get along. In the school of higher learning. If you gotta feel like you gotta agree that a 5'9" white guy is a 6.5-foot tall Chinese woman, and you think, yeah, okay, it is me. You're losing it. You get a grip. Like I said, it's almost funny if it wasn't so sad. Like, what's going on here? It says professing to be wise, professing to be inclusive, professing to be diverse enough, they became fools. So God, what does God do? We mentioned yesterday, God gives them up. Let's look at verse 24. God gives them up. Therefore, God gave them over in their lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Notice what he means to show that God is, and that God is true. He is the creation. You know, truth isn't truth about the Bible. We don't have truth about the Bible that we can just argue about the truth of the Bible, right? What he's saying here is the whole universe cries out, God is. And his truth won't be broken. And 35-year-old guys are not 7-year-old kids, and no, they shouldn't be allowed to enroll in the first grade. Why is that so hard to say? You're going to exchange truth of God for a lie? We need to be truth seekers in everything, not just in the Word of God, in every aspect of our lives. It's one of the many things I love about my wife. If she is trying to get to the bottom of something, she's like a dog on a bone, man. She's not going to give up until she finds the answer. And I like that. But we need to do that in all facets of our life. So people would rather have the alive in the truth of God. And what does God say? Okay. Don't leave a finger in Romans chapter 1. We're coming back to it. But turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's take a look at this. This is great. In 2 Thessalonians excuse me, chapter 2. In verse 10, he writes, "And with all deception of wickedness, for those who perish, because they did not receive a love of the truth so as to be saved." For this reason that they did not receive a love of the truth, for this reason God will send upon them a deluding influence, so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth and took pleasure in wickedness. They knew the truth, but they took pleasure in wickedness. So God says, okay, people, then you don't want truth? Well, I'm going to help you out. Right? And he gives them a strong delusion to believe those lies. He says, if you hear me, and we're going to dig into that here in a bit too, it's not just truth of the Bible, because, I mean, if you don't want that truth, you're going to get a strong delusion. Right? You know, and if you're going to walk through life believing lies instead of truth, preferring that, you're going to have a hard life. Mike, if I was an employer also, I'd do things a little differently than from the old school days. You know, a lot of employers nowadays, the way they kind of background check, they go on Facebook. They go on Facebook and do a background check. You can see a lot of things on Facebook. If I saw one of those people in that interview applying for a job at my company, and they couldn't tell a 5'9 white guy from a 6.5 foot tall Chinese woman, guess what? That resume is going in the trash. Right? They're not working for me. They're not working for me. Well, you can't make a pizza a hamburger. Right? Maybe you could. I guess they're moving on. If a guy can't tell a pickup from a four-door sedan, I don't want him selling cars on my lot. Are you kidding me? And truth is going to remain truth, by the way, whether we believe. Picking up in verse 26 then. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And the same way also with men, abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons their due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Look at this list. These are people who are not truth seekers. Filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips. Notice something in this list. Lots of people go to these verses to teach against homosexuality, and these are great verses for that. But look at, you know, he says there's a lot more to this. He says there's a lot more that these wicked people are capable of. Continuing in verse 30. Slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil. That's an interesting one. Disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. They not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice it. Careful. You notice one of the things in that video, when they were asked, they all kept saying, "Well, it doesn't bother me." Right? If you want to believe that, it's okay with me. If you give hearty approval to those kind of things, and that it's no concern of mine, you can do whatever you want, I'm not going to argue against it, then he's saying that you get the same reward as they get. Giving approval of those such things, those who practice, then you go with them. You go with it. So this is not harmless. What's happening in our society today is not harmless. And we're going to show that here in a bit. It's not okay for them to believe just whatever they want to believe. But don't get me wrong. Don't go home and start grabbing people by their shirt and start shaking them and tell them, you need to love the truth. Right? All of us are going to have the opportunity to take a stand for truth in our day to day. We're all going to have those opportunities. The trick is to be prepared when they come about. We need to be prepared in our minds for those moments to be able to stand on God's truth decisively without hesitation. Turn to John chapter 14. Oh, we got to pick it up. Did my time start when the video started or after? I guess that's after. John chapter 14. This is a pretty popular verse. Most of us probably know in verse 6. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Ain't nobody getting to the Father except for me. That's that narrow gate. Because the Bible talks about the broad way, right? The broad way that leads to destruction, and many go there. Because straight is the way, narrow is the gate that leads to life, and few find it. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I'm the life. You know, one of the things that people can't stand today is absolute truth. They don't want truth. We've seen it. Well, Jesus is the truth. You know what? I'm super thankful for that. I'm so glad that this world of craziness, ludicrous ideas, darkness, different belief systems, philosophies and opinions, I like that it all gets narrowed down to one thing, Jesus. It's narrowed down to one thing, Jesus. In the flesh for good reason. He was human like we are. We want to know what God's looking for in his people. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. He's the example. Right? I mean, it all boils down right down to him. I like that. He said, follow me. Follow me. Come, learn from me. You'll find rest for your souls. I like that. I like that this crazy world can be narrowed down to that one thing. In this crazy world, with all these things going on, I like that we have something to grab hold of that is not going to move. Because that thing does not move. Like a lighthouse to guide us in, that thing doesn't move. And that's the Lord. He is the light, it says, that came into the world so that men no longer need to abide in the darkness. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 14:12 that there's a way that's right to a man, but the end of it is destruction. Right? And look at John tells us that many deceivers have already gone out into the world. So how do we know? How are we going to know? Jesus said, I am the way. Follow me. I'm the truth, so I'll get you there. I'll get you there. When Jesus prayed his high priestly prayer in John 17, the night in which he was going to be betrayed, he was praying, right? He was praying for his buddy. Because he's leaving. He's going back to the Father. So he's praying for his buddies, and he says in verse 17, sanctify them in truth. You're sanctified in truth, brother. He says, your word is truth. Absolutely the truth. There's your standard. And we need that. Right? We need that. That produces the hope that is the anchor for our soul. We need an anchor for our soul. Something that doesn't move. It's going to stay put no matter what. So consider this. You took a microphone to the campus of Washington State University 15 years ago and asked those questions. Say, hey, I'm a woman. What do you think of that? Everyone said, man, you're crazy. You're crazy. Not that way now, is it? Well, what happened? How did we get like this? What's going on? Well, you see these things of the world, everything shifts and moves, constantly jostling back and forth, sinking deeper and deeper into depravity. What's the source of all? We know, right? But you can turn to John 8. We'll take a look at this. John chapter 8. Jesus is talking with those Jews that didn't like him. They were arguing with Jesus. And they're saying, God is our Father. In John chapter 8, we'll pick it up in verse 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? Is it because you cannot hear my words? You are of your father, the devil. And you do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. For he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? I speak truth. Why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's word. For this reason, you do not hear them because you are not of God. I would have loved to have been standing there. He said that. Your father is the devil. Woo! Like the gloves are off, right? Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the truth. And these religious guys couldn't even hear. Couldn't even hear him. Why is that? They had an agenda. They had an agenda. They had a reason for not wanting to listen to him, right? They were actually trying to find fault in him so they could murder him. Your father is the devil. See, this is not just a human thing. This is a spiritual thing. And why do you think Sonny Lewis can fight back this supernatural evil the way Steve talks about it? The influences today, we're seeing it. We're seeing it. The influence of it. You know, this video is almost 10 years old. That aired in 2016. What do you see that controversy morph into? Men and women sports. Transgender extremists reading books to gay school kids in the library. Sex education for kindergartners. Where does it end? Where does it end? And that's all over the world, brethren. The whole world's gone mad. He said, your father is the devil. He was a liar from the beginning, a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth. What does Scripture say about God? It's impossible for God to lie, right? That's what Scripture says. Because God is truth. God is truth. But Satan has no truth in him. Because he is the father of lies. What side of the street do you think those people are on that can't tell a 5'9 white guy from a 6.5 foot tall guy? What side of the street do you think they're on? Not from God. It's got to come from somewhere, right? Where's that coming from? You know, there's no indication in that video that that guy talked to the people beforehand. Right? I don't believe he talked to them beforehand and said, look, you all got to agree to this nutty idea, okay? No, they came up with that on their own. He asked them randomly about these things and got the same answer from a diverse group of college students. Where did they get that idea? You see, there's something going on. The Bible talks about the spirit of error and the spirit of truth, right? Which spirit do you think they're being influenced by? Is this a big deal? It's a very big deal. And I'll tell you what, except you know the truth, you're going to die. Because that's the way this place is set up. The default is your father's Satan, right? We have to know the truth. Because if we, brethren, if we don't know truth, we're buying lies. And if you're buying lies, you're in the default setting. The default setting is you believe lies. There's only two camps. Truth and lies. John says that there is no lie of the truth. Look, you're either pregnant or you're not. You're either tall or you're short. You can't be both. You're either dead or you're alive. There's no middle ground there. You either believe truth or you believe lies. I like how Jesus does this. Back to John chapter 8. You know, he says, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Let's look at John chapter 8, verse 53. Surely you are not greater than our father Abraham, who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, look at this. If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I don't know him, I will be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Jesus knew the truth. He knew the truth about himself and about God, and he was not going to allow them to pressure him to back down even to the point of death. He said, if I do that, then I'm a liar like you. I'm not going to tell a 5'9 white guy that he is a 6.5 foot tall Chinese woman. I'm not going to agree to that. I'm going to say, no, you're not. Because if I agree with that, then I'm a liar. You see, there's no middle ground here. You don't get another choice in the matter. And don't think that's not harmful. To be deluded and forced into that, it will cost you your eternal soul. There is no neutral ground in this battle. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. I gave you this, but we'll go ahead and look at this. 1 John chapter 2. I want to keep a finger in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 21. He says, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it. And because no lie is of the truth. You can't mix these together. It doesn't go both ways. They don't mix. They're 180 degrees polar opposite. Truth and lie. Holy and unholy. Good and evil. Light and dark. They are polar opposites. I like this in 2 John. You can turn there. 2 John, just a few pages on. 2 John in verse 4. You also see this. We'll take a look in 3 John, but that's right next door there. Well, 2 John, verse 4. Look at this. He says, I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth. Just as you have received commandment to do from the Lord. Walking in truth. Brother, it's not enough to believe truth. We gotta do more than just believe truth. We gotta walk in truth. That means in every aspect of our lives, we need to walk in truth. Look at 3 John verse 3. 3 John verse 3. For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth. That is, how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this. Here my children are walking in the truth. It's not a matter of believing truth, brethren. It's about walking in the truth. We are also called to shine as lights to the world, right? Well, how are we going to do that if we're not walking in the truth? So it's not just a matter of believing things. And brethren, it's not okay for us to know truth up here and hide it. We should see the truth coming forward in our lives, in every aspect of our lives, by walking in the truth. And don't believe for a minute that those college students thought that that 5'9 white guy was a 6.5 foot tall Chinese woman. They knew the truth. They knew the truth. They knew that he was a 5'9 white guy. That's true. They knew the truth. But they weren't going to walk in truth. They weren't going to walk in truth. They were going to allow that lie to persist. We cannot, brethren, conduct ourselves in this world going along with the darkness. We have to walk in truth. Knowing the truth up here but never letting it out in our lives is not going to do it. Keep your finger here in 1 John and flip back to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I love hearing the rustling of pages. Matthew chapter 5, that doesn't mean that you that are in electronic devices. You're not sounding easy. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The fact that we're walking in truth, glorifying our Father in heaven, you can't put that under the basket. And they don't have the right to do that either. They know darn well what the truth was, but they preferred the lie. And if they say, oh, it's okay for you to act a little differently than everyone else, as long as they know the truth that's here, right? We don't get that right. We're going to have to be walking in the truth 24/7. Not just about Bible stuff either. We need to walk truth with our neighbors in everything. We need to walk in truth at work with our coworkers. And we need to stand up for what's right. We need to be an example. Everywhere we go, we're supposed to be lights, right? Is that just at home? Is that just on Sunday? Every day of our lives. Be the light. Everywhere we go. Brethren, this is a dark, dark world. But God sent His light, didn't He? God sent His light. We need to be lights to the world and not try to conceal that under political correctness, under the filters of these wicked people that will force you and shame you and humiliate you with these nutty ideas. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, whoever confesses me before men, I'll confess him before my Father. But whoever denies me, man, I'll deny him. If we're going to be people of the book, brethren, if we're going to be of the truth, if we're going to be walking in the truth and let that light shine, do not put a basket over that. Don't try to put a basket over that. If we try to conceal the truth ourselves, just knowing the truth up here but not living it, in a sense, we're denying him before men. We'll wrap up here in 1 John 5. Hopefully you kept your finger there. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 18, he says, we know no one who is born of God sins. And he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies under the power of the evil one, under the sway. Seems like what we've just been talking about, right? Remember him, the evil one, the one that there is no truth in, the father of lies. Remember him. The whole world lies under the sway of this wicked one, of his darkness, of his evil. Look at verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Come now. Let us reason together. Thanks for listening.